So we're going to be talking, actually I've got a two-parter coming up, this and next week, on assimilation. Because historically, the way that people survived is really one of two ways. Either they became the victor, meaning that they conquered those around them. And we know we're called to be more than conquerors. Get that out of the way. The second is to assimilate. That means they become like those around them, and those around them are normally those that have already conquered them. In Jewish history as a people, the Jews were almost always the ones who were assimilating to the conquerors. Over and over during the history, being just a small remnant of Adonai's people, they've tried to maintain themselves and not allow themselves to be totally assimilated into the people around them. Sometimes in history, we see that they even wanted to be assimilated, wanted to be part of those around, thinking that if they could just be part of them, they found a home and they're going to be safe and they're not going to be attacked. We see probably the biggest example of that is Germany. Before World War II, there was a large Jewish population in Germany. And a lot of them thought of themselves as Germans first and Jews second. They just were totally assimilated in, they thought. And even as the Nazi noose was going around their neck, they cried out, "But wait, we're German citizens." Didn't work. Not for them. The problem is that even as they were assimilated into the German society, and some of them did more than others, but as a whole, the Nazi leadership didn't seem to see the difference between the Jews who were assimilated, thinking themselves as one with Germany, and those who were trying to still hold on to their Jewishness and not relinquish the customs and the religions of Judaism. For Judaism, and even for a lot of the world, the word assimilation is not a word that's looked upon favorably. Most know that they need to become assimilated if they want to thrive in a society that's around them. But that's not really the fate that the Jewish people should be looking towards. In fact, as people of Adonai's, Jews or Gentiles, that is not the way that we should be living. Based on Scripture, we're told to be a peculiar people. We really are to be strange people in strange land until we're reunited with Adonai in the Garden of Eden for all eternity. And that should be our goal. Scripture said this about being separate from the world. Look at what it says in Deuteronomy 14, starting in 14:1. You are the children of Adonai your God. You are not to cut yourselves or shave your foreheads for the dead. You are a holy people to Adonai your God from all the peoples of the face of the earth. Adonai has chosen you to be his treasured people. You are not to eat any detestable thing. Not only are the people of Adonai's told to be set apart, but it says here are some of the ways you're to be set apart. Don't cut yourself or shave your forehead for the dead. Well, I wouldn't have that problem. Don't eat anything that's detestable. That means that the things that he called unclean, you shouldn't be eating. And those that are just some of the ways that he told us to be different from the world. Still true today. His words are eternal. They're just as true as they were then as they are today. The problem is the world saw us as different, and they didn't like it. We see it again in 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. So get rid of all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all lashon hara. As newborn babes, long for pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow toward salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Peter says to get rid of the things of the world, the things like lying, envy, speaking evil towards others. And by that, we would be separated. Be peculiar. Be holy. And then a few verses later, Peter says why we're to do all this. Starting in verse 9 of 1 Peter 2. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There could be a question of whether he was really talking to Jews or Gentiles when he said that. That they were to be a holy nation and a possession of his. And I think that it really is both Jew and Gentile. And each has a job to fill. So they both need to do it the same way to be holy. For the Jewish people, they were to bring the light to the world, to show them his better way of living. Adonai's way of living. Adonai's way. And to do that, they needed to live the better way of life, as described in Torah. The job of the Gentiles is to make the Jewish people jealous of them because they're following the better way of Adonai that he had set for his Jewish people, but that they weren't following. Both need to be peculiar people, set apart for Adonai, to be holy and following his ways. Now, the problem from the very early on is that people wanted to assimilate with those around them. Think about what happened while Samuel was the judge over Israel for Adonai. What did they say to him? Well, 1 Samuel 8:4, starting there. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations." The people went to Samuel and demanded a king. And the reason was right there, so they could be like all the nations. Even then, they wanted to assimilate with the nations about them. So we see that people seem to always want to be like the nations around them, and the nations also wanted the people around them to be like them. Although even then, history shows that the nation of Israel will not always be fully accepted by them. Now, I've said the word assimilation or other words that are similar a few times, so let's get a definition out of the way. As per Google, assimilation is defined as a noun, the process of taking in and fully understanding information or ideas, or the absorption and integration of people, ideas, or culture into a wider society or culture. And their second one was the process of becoming similar to something. Now, Britannica Online says that assimilation in anthropology or sociology is the process whereby individuals or groups of different ethnic heritages are absorbed into the dominant culture, into the dominant culture of a society. So we see that the process of assimilating involves taking on the traits of the dominant culture to such a degree that the assimilating group becomes socially indistinguishable from other members of the society. Now, in Hebrew, The word is hitholetlos. Assimilation is being around others who are different and slowly becoming more and more like them until there's so very little difference that the outsider can't tell the difference anymore. The smaller group becomes one of the larger group and then disappears so that maybe only some of the customs and some of the traditions are still around. And after years, they don't even remember why they're doing them. As I look at assimilation, I believe that there are at least three ways to look at assimilation. As an older movie title said, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I'm going to take a look at these three, but I'm actually going to reverse the order. So I'll take be talking first about the ugly, and then the bad, and next week I'll look to see if there's even any good in assimilating. Now, using the words ugly and bad can be seen as a bit of a stretch, but I wanted to make the word play work. But I don't think it's really that big of a stretch, to be honest with you. I'll call the bad assimilation when going from Judaism to assimilating to the world. I'll call the ugly assimilation going from Judaism to the church. And these are the two that I'm going to touch on today. The bad really is bad. And what I call ugly really is not very pretty at all. Let's start off with what I call bad assimilation. Going from Judaism to the world. I actually believe that anyone changing to be more like the world and living in worldly ways is bad. Not that the person's bad, but the change that they make is bad. And out of that, the actions that they take are bad. Now, this could be seen as someone backsliding away from their walk with the world, Jew or Gentile, and taking on the characteristics of the world. The reality is that that's the way almost everyone started. No one was born without some of the world within them, and perhaps even controlling them. At least that's the way it is now. When man was first made, there were no ways of the world, just the way of Adonai. Adam and Eve only knew of one way. Maybe I should do that one. That's two. One way. However, with their sin of listening to Satan as the snake and leaving the ways of Adonai behind and the consequences of it, that started the way of the world. And then we have the killing of Abel by his brother Cain, which furthered the ways of the world. We see in these two examples the turning of people from Adonai and then hurting each other. Now, doesn't that sound like the world today? Becoming more like the world and leaving behind the ways of Adonai. That Adonai told the Jewish people to be in Scripture has many different effects on his people when they leave them. In the Harvard University's The Pluralism Project, it speaks about assimilation. And it says this, quote, "One becomes progressively less Jewish, either religiously or culturally, and ultimately leaves the fold altogether. While Jews have always lost members through attrition, assimilation has become a significant threat to the community in the modern period. For a people that had been historically defined as outsiders and as the pariahs," meaning outsiders, "of society, the opening of the ghetto gates released a flood of assimilatory energy. But throughout the 19th century, as Jews rushed to participate more fully in European society, they were often met by social resistance. Later, that resistance evolved into an anti-Jewish movement called anti-Semitism, unquote. According to the Harvard Project, the Jewish population of America reached a high of approximately 6 million people in the mid-century and has been decreasing ever since. Now, the survey estimates some 5.5 million Jews live in America today, and whom more than 1 million only marginally identify themselves as Jews. Following the highest number in 1937, when Jews constituted a whopping 3.7% of the American population, the percentage has been in decline as well. Today, that percentage of Jews relative to the population as a whole hovers at about 2%, according to that Harvard Pluralism Project. Now, when I Googled the population of Jews in the United States, it said that in 2020, it was about 7.7 million, which is 2.4% of the total population. The difference between the two is probably who do they count as Jewish, right? Whether there's a little Jew in them or a lot of Jew or just at least one grandparent. There are a lot of different ways of counting who's Jewish in the world. Either way, we see a decline in the number of Jews as the population percentage and flat out number. Assimilation can result in both positive outcomes, the increased acceptance in broader society, and negative outcomes such as loss of culture, heritage, and identity. This can vary based on how completely they assimilate and how accepting the society is towards them. This can also bring some serious consequences from Adonai as well if we are to wander off the path set by him. The moral laws of Judaism Shaul tells us to be careful not to change to be like the world. And he does that in Romans 12:1. It's a passage you might be familiar with. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed to the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Shaul tells us not to conform to the world so that we can present our bodies as living sacrifices. This does not mean that just the flesh of our bodies to be kept clean for him, but it's a call to keep all of ourselves clean for him, clean and holy. Because even if the flesh is clean, if the heart and mind are not, then it's all for nothing. Don't be fooled into thinking that you can partition your life in certain ways, so that I'll just leave this piece behind when I go to God. It's an all or nothing thing. And if part of you, even the smallest part, is unacceptable, it's unacceptable. Even a small bit of leaven will spoil the whole lump, we're told in 1 Corinthians 5. You have to keep all of yourself separate from the world, not to allow any of your heart to be assimilated to the world. This has to be the hardest part of life. The keeping each and every bit of ourselves pure for him. Now, the good news is that although we cannot always be perfect, with the right heart attitude, His blood will be freely given to cleanse us so that we can be presented to Him before His throne. The blood of Messiah Yeshua. But the heart that allows some assimilation in our lives, meaning some of it's allowed to be like the world, then none of it can come into His presence. This is true for all peoples, Jew and Gentile, young, old, those who have tried their whole lives to be good, and those who are just recently saved. The important thing is that you are to try your best and then let your Yeshua do the rest. But if you fight with the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, on what to do and what you think is right, then your heart will stop not the blood from doing its job, but the blood from reaching you to do your job, to do its job. So we're called to keep from assimilating with the world, regardless if we're Jew from birth, Gentile from birth, for we are all grafted into the same vine. The next is the ugly assimilation, which is the assimilation from Judaism to the church. Where am I? There we are. It's not bad to be part of the church, but it is bad if you are there because you think you have to leave behind the things that Adonai has given and promised in order to accept Yeshua as the Messiah, who the church calls Jesus. History has shown that there are many times that the Jewish people were forced to assimilate into the church to save their lives. In fact, during Yom Kippur, we say a prayer that is over 1,500 years old and is many times misunderstood, but actually it's just for this type of situation. That would be the Kol Nidre, which is a prayer or which is sung, which a lot of synagogues feel is outdated and puts the Jewish people in a bad light. A lot of congregations have stopped doing the Kol Nidre. What it asks Adonai to do is to forgive and make null the vows that they made. This causes a misunderstanding in the world as they say that Jewish people couldn't be taken at their word because of this very prayer that they say every year. The misunderstanding is that it does not say that all the vows should be voided out, but only those that were made under duress and about God. That when the Jewish people were forced into denial of their faith in their Jewish scriptures and their Jewish God, that they were not to be held against them. And there's an example of something very similar in Scripture. Boy, isn't there always. In 2 Kings 5, Naaman has sa'arat, or some would say leprosy, and is sent to Elijah to be healed, hesitant to follow the instructions given by the prophet at first. When he finally does, he accepts Adonai as the only true God. But there's a problem. We read his request in 2 Kings 5:18, where it says this: "In this matter may Adonai pardon your servant. When my master goes into the house of Ramon to worship there, leaning on my hand, and I prostrate myself in the house of Ramon. When I prostrate myself in the house of Ramon, may Adonai pardon your servant in this manner." Elijah said to him, "Go in peace." So Aman departed from him some distance. Elijah, as representative of Adonai, says to him that a vow or action that is made while being forced will not be held against him. This is an example of forced assimilation. In this case, Naam was being forced to appear not to follow Adonai. But Adonai forgives the actions taken as long as his heart was correct. For the Jewish people in history and today, although it doesn't matter, it doesn't happen that much anymore, assimilation is forced. It doesn't happen that forced assimilation happens much anymore. But assimilation that is forced is not held against the person in the eyes of Adonai if the heart stays true. But today we do see forced assimilation, but there's a combination of coercion and bad choices that it really is. It's really not forced. It's a combination of coercion and bad choices that are made that drive Jewish people into the church today. The question of leaving Judaism behind when saved is the same as the question of conversion at salvation that I get asked frequently. The thing to understand is that when going from a non-believing Jew to a believing Jew, whether you want to be called a Christian or messianic believer, there is no conversion because there's no actual changing of God or the God you follow. Going from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to faith in Messiah Yeshua, that's the same God. There is no conversion. Now, an example of conversion would be paganism or Hinduism with its many gods to the one true God. So from Judaism to acceptance of Yeshua is not changing gods, but accepting of what Adonai has sent to fulfill the scripture as seen in the Tanakh. The stumbling block that many Jews have is the belief that they need to leave behind their traditions or even the Torah instructions when they accept the Messiah. Adonai never called for the Jewish person to give up the Tanakh, but actually for the Gentile to take up the instructions of Torah when becoming a believer. There are those within the church who mistakenly think that the things of the Torah are no longer required or are done away with. They think that in order for someone to attend their church, they need to do an act as the rest of the church that they belong to. I believe it's because of a misreading of a passage from Acts that people think this way. When there were some who were going around to the established synagogues that believed the Messiah Yeshua as Savior, saying that the Gentiles had to be circumcised to follow the Messiah, Shaul, the Apostle Paul, brought the issues to the Jerusalem Council to decide the right way to proceed. I think that it was really amazing to see who was there to make the decision at that time, though. In that meeting was John, or Jacob, the brother of Yeshua, and the head of the congregation of Jerusalem, Peter, or Kepha, who was anointed to bring the good news to the Gentiles, Paul, or Shaul, who was anointed to bring the good news to the Jewish people, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God Himself, who is the good news for everyone. This is the meeting that really blows my mind. And boy, would I have liked to have been in that room at the time, just to see them together in one place. They agree Gentiles do not need to be circumcised. And they send a letter that some men, they send a letter and some men to tell them this. And we see it in Acts 15. Acts 15, starting in 28. This is the letter says this in part. It seems good to the Ruach HaKodesh and to us not to place on you any greater burden than these essentials: that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. By keeping away from these things, you will do well. Shalom. Like mic drop. Shalom. There were those who would point to this and say, see, they only need to do these things from the Torah and no more. That's not a correct understanding, I believe. Does it mean that they don't need to do any of the teachings of Adonai? You just told me they only need to do these four things. Of course not. And just as it doesn't mean that they should not learn from the teachings of Yeshua, it also means they should not ignore the source of Yeshua's teaching, the Tanakh, the Old Covenant, the Torah, the instructions of Adonai. The point being made is that to start, to get them into the door, get them into the doors of the synagogues, they only needed to do these four things. The rest they'll learn as they go. Let's not throw out everything just because everything is not listed in one place in the scripture. Saying that the assimilation into the church is ugly is a bit of a stretch, but the thinking that they need to lose out on the riches that is the Tanakh to accept the Messiah is just ugly thinking. Today I talked about bad assimilation by any and everyone of accepting the world as a way of life. And I spoke about ugly assimilation of really anyone who goes to the church that forces the loss of God's word just because they come from a part of the Bible before the page that divides the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, the Old and New Covenants. Adonai's words are his words forever, and they never expire, and they never fail. We're told about his words in 2 Timothy 3:14. You, however, continue in what you have learned and what you have become convinced of. For you know from whom you have learned, and from what childhood, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to make you wise, leading to salvation through trusting in Messiah Yeshua. All scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for restoration, or for training in righteousness, so that the person belonging to God may be capable, fully equipped for every good deed. The words of the Tanakh are the words that lead to salvation. And they are not to be left behind in the dust of the past. They are inspired by God for a purpose, which is to teach, reproof, restore, and train. The words of the Tanakh do all of this so that we will be capable to speak about the things that happen within the Brit Hadashah, including the coming of the Messiah for all peoples. The first word of that passage is you. And it's typical to think that the you there is Timothy that Rav Shaul is writing to. He could have written out, you know, just as easily, hey, Tim, continue what you've been taught. But he didn't. He said you. So it could easily, I can read it and say, Larry, continue to walk and learn. Tony, continue to walk and learn. Pasha, continue to walk and learn. This means that if you are Jewish, you are not to assimilate to the world or the church that does not accept the teaching of the Tanakh. It means that if you're Gentile, you're not to learn and accept the words. It means that if you're Gentile, you are to learn and accept the words of the Tanakh as your ways to walk and learn from Adonai. It means that no one is to assimilate to a word or world that tries to draw you away from Adonai. His words, or his living word, Yeshua. Now next week, I'll continue with looking at assimilation and looking to see if there's anything good about assimilation. So I invite you to come out to next week for that. Father, we thank you. We thank you that your words are true, your words are for forever, and your words are for all peoples. Your words teach us and guide us on how to speak to others about what happened in the Brit Hadashah. It teaches us to witness to both Jew and Gentile. It teaches us how to live moral right lives. And living that moral right life, it helps us not only just to walk in his path, but to help, but for others to see, hey, what's different about that person? For a Gentile to want to walk that path as well, and for a Jew to be jealous. Why are they following Torah? That's supposed to be me. To point out that they're not following all of Torah. To point them back to the written Torah, where so many of them have been confused by the rabbis to teach oral Torah, and to kind of veered off completely what was written. Well, Ruach, we ask that you would put blinders on your people to see the path that you created for them, that's written out in all of the Tanakh for them. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your words. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.